Welcome back to In the Studio here at K-Bright Radio. I'm your host, Teresa, and I'm so glad you've joined us for today's conversation. We often talk about the unique influence our state holds, but today we're diving into a movement that believes California's greatest export isn't just culture or industry, it's revival. Joining me today is Joel Mott with California Will Be Saved. They are preparing for a massive gathering at our state capitol in Sacramento on May 23rd under a very powerful banner, "Where California Goes, the World Goes." Joel, it is an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio. Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Happy that you brought your guitar today. Before we get started, will you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, Jesus. Love you. Thank you for what you're doing right now across the world, across the nations, and how you call us to be a part of that. And just bless this time. Pray for everyone listening now or later, that you would just surround them, that your presence would come, and you would speak to us in this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Do you have a new song to share with us?
Just for you, Teresa.
Yes. For you. See? But
if I can fit in here with my guitar.
I always get the exclusives.
I know, you forget. Do. I just wrote this song last week.
Wow.
So it's really fresh.
Okay.
It's called Revival Days.
Let's go.
Because you guys know we're living in revival days.
Amen.
And I just keep saying this, like, it's uncommon, you know? We have to remember, like, what God is doing right now across California, across the nation. It's just not regular. Like, we're living in irregular times. And so my heart with this song was to wrap a sound around that expectation and that hope that, like, we're living. Like, they said they didn't even know they were living in the Jesus movement until, like, years later, when they looked back and saw, oh, wow, that was like a historic move of God, you know? And I'm just like, are we living in a move like that right now, right?
Yes.
So bear with me. It's still fresh. See if I can remember the lyrics, but it goes like this. This is the chorus. Can you feel the wind of heaven on your face? The sound of freedom ringing through this place. All the people singing, Jesus is the way. We are living in revival days. Can you hear the sound of laughter in the streets? Welcome to the days of Jubilee. All the people singing, Jesus set me free. We are living in revival days.
Woo! I absolutely love it. That was so good. When is that coming out?
I know, we're working on it. We're also doing a song in Sacramento.
Yeah, this so, one? I think it'll be really good over there, especially because that's the whole point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We love witnessing what God is already doing in California. Your efforts, man, spreading the gospel, baptizing people, just talking about Jesus everywhere you go, and very just God and country.
Yep.
I know there's a lot of other things that you're probably working on behind the scenes. And so everything to glorify God, but also to make our nation just thrive. So I love that. Mm-hmm. You're so young and so driven. So rise up, people like you and your generation, to just have that call. I think it's really cool that you've said yes to the assignment. So can you share some highlights of this past year with our listeners?
Yeah, 2026 is off to a crazy start. We just are coming off of Hope Fest LA, which was a large gathering at the LA Memorial Coliseum.
I know.
On the 120-year anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. And so it was amazing. 33,000 people gathered in that stadium there. It was like 9 hours of prayer, of worship, of gospel presentations, of Christian artists performing, of giveaways.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole goal was just reaching the lost. And we saw more than 3,500 salvations just
so
that day
radical.
At the stadium. And it's hard to count. There's so many other hands, but those were like documented at least. I think there were probably even more than that. And then so many healings and baptisms right there. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big push this spring for Hope Fest. And we're just thrilled with what we're seeing God do right now. And now we're getting ready for a whole another tour. We've also been doing these campus stops. Mm-hmm. So we set up like five stops at different campuses across Southern California the last few weeks, and they've been incredible as well. Just seeing young people show up and a lot more salvation, and young people just hungry for the presence of God.
So amazing. Joel, California Will Be Saved has seen incredible moves of God from the beaches of Huntington to the streets of San Francisco. What is the specific spiritual weight or prophetic assignment you feel for gathering at the state capitol in Sacramento this May?
So gathering at the capitol is like one of my favorite things to do ever. I don't know how many times we've done like different prayer rallies, you know, before elections, mm-hmm. Like these strategic moments just to cry out to God and petition heaven, you mm-hmm. know, on behalf of our state and our nation. But the reason I love it, I think, is because it's so Davidic, and King David is my hero, right? Like if you all got Bible heroes, obviously it's like Jesus, mm-hmm. right, for me. And then it's like David, it's the next one. And because what he did in his time is he brought the presence of God. He brought worship and the sound of praise to the center of the capital city in Jerusalem. And this is how he set up his whole administration. And you can see, if you look, like the nation goes from a lot of turmoil and chaos to all of a sudden God's favor and blessing is restored on the nation. It's like a full 180. But it's because David, as the king, as a leader, reverenced the presence of God, and he put him back at the center. And so we're doing that very thing coming up May 23rd. We're going to enthrone Jesus over that governmental high place, right? And we're just going to declare a new day in California. There's a lot of things kind of converging on that weekend. But it starts with prayer. It starts with worship. This mm-hmm. is how, you know, some of my spiritual dads always tell me, like, you win the battle in the heavenlies, right? Like Paul said, we're not fighting flesh and blood. It's the battle in the heavenly places mm-hmm. with principalities and demonic mm-hmm. forces. And what are our weapons in the spirit? It's the prayer. It's the worship. Mm-hmm. It's the obedience to what God's saying. So mm-hmm. we're going to do that for 5 hours on May 23rd. We're just going to win the battle in the heavenlies, so prayer and worship, declare that Jesus reigns over California. And I can get into this more of this, but that's kind of what it's looking like May 23rd.
So I have a random question, because you are so very God and country and you love your country. Who are you voting for this election for governor of California?
Well, my pastor is running for governor.
Yes.
So I think that kind of answers the question.
Yes.
I'm supporting him and his endeavor here. We're just believing, you know, that God's going to do something historic on this run here. In November, we get a new governor. And so Cheon, he's running for governor. I'm full of faith right now. I think, you know, whether it's Che, whether it's someone else, we're just praying that, like, God has his person that can get in there and really make legislation that brings a restoration, a reformation to California.
I know that he's your pastor, but I don't believe that's the reason why you're voting for him. I think that you're very intentional. Could you give me one reason why you're voting for him?
Well, he's a strong believer. I think that's the first thing. He's full of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
He loves God.
There you go.
He's been following him for decades.
Yeah.
And you can see that through the fruit of his life. And so that's what we need, right? That's what we need in government, is we need people that revere the Lord and honor him. Mm-hmm. And just like the scripture says, like, when God is over a nation, like, it's blessed. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's honored, the nation is blessed. So that'd be the number one reason.
Where California goes, the world goes. That is a bold, stirring theme for this event. Can you unpack the meaning behind that phrase and why you believe a spiritual shift in our state's capital is the key to sparking a wider awakening across the globe?
Yeah, I mean, it's whether you look at, you know, obviously the politics, but you can look at the entertainment industry, you can look at fashion trends, you can look at the culture, mm-hmm. and you can look at revival history.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also look at the negative side of things, like we're like the porn capital of the world, you know, it's like it's hard to even comprehend that, but
mm-hmm.
but for whatever reason, there is an anointing on mm-hmm. California
yeah.
to influence nations.
Yes.
And I think the redemptive side of that is, like we've learned from revival history, that when God pours out his spirit here,
mm-hmm.
that it really never was just for California. It always went outside of the state and spread across the nation, even nations of the world.
Yes.
So that's why I'm fighting for it. You know, if we see a shift, I think it's the governmental piece for me is like it's less that I'm concerned about politics. It's more that I'm seeing the bigger picture of this, mm-hmm. the spiritual dynamic of what's swirling in the heavenlies,
yeah.
you know, and how the enemy would love to take over California.
Right.
And how does he do that? He gets, you know, people that are following all kinds of demonic agendas mm-hmm. into places of power, and then the people have to follow that.
Yeah.
And so I think when Paul said, pray for those in authority that it may go well with you, that you may be able to live your, I think he said in our translation, like quiet and peaceful lives. But what does that mean? It really means that like the way that we are called to live our Christian lives mm-hmm. are not being interfered with governmental mm-hmm. authority.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have a calling and a mandate as believers on the yeah. earth, right?
Yeah.
And we've been commissioned by the Council of Heaven to live out our callings. But sometimes what happens is our earthly government gets in the way of that.
Mm.
And a prime example was like COVID,
yeah.
where our government is literally saying, stop having church.
Yeah.
This is an example where an earthly government, earthly legislation is now starting to interfere with how we are actually called to live our lives. And that's why Paul's like, well, pray for those in authority that you can actually yes. live that out.
Yes.
So it's less political for me. It's more about like getting the kingdom of heaven to be rolled out on the earth
yeah.
and not having the interference.
Your movement is known for taking worship out of the four walls of the church and into public square. Why is it so vital for believers to physically occupy spaces like the Capitol grounds with the proclamation of the gospel right now?
It's a high place. You know, there's places where like legislation is waged and it's in the spirit. It's like one of those high places. So I think like enthroning Jesus over the government
yeah.
is so significant and so key. And it's making a proclamation to our generation that like there's a king higher than our earthly kings.
Yes.
There's one who's on the throne.
When you're actually there, what does it feel like? Because I haven't gone to the Capitol, but
oh, really?
I watch because yeah. we have access to that, right?
Yep.
The day of like I'm on everybody's story just listening and watching and experiencing through that channel, but I haven't physically been there, but I can tell you what it feels like to be at one of your rallies or one of your gatherings or one of your marches or anything like that, because I've been to those and
yeah.
you really bring and invite. I mean, Holy Spirit's everywhere, but you
yeah.
definitely invite and you feel the presence of God because there's like chains breaking, like
yeah.
right in front of me, people like crying and dying
yeah.
to themselves. And I'm like,
yeah.
like I get goosebumps just thinking about it. I was with Crystal at one of them and I'm like sitting there filming and all of a sudden you just see like tears, like
mm-hmm.
I just need to be forgiven. And you've given that out. Like Jesus loves you. You are forgiven. You are loved.
Mm-hmm.
You are his, you know, daughter or son or
yeah.
yeah. So I know what that feels like.
Right.
Is that similar?
It's different at the Capitol. I mean, similar, but totally
but different.
Different because let's see if I can explain this.
Yeah.
Like, so we understand like government really derives from God.
Mm-hmm.
Like you guys know Jesus is sitting on a throne.
Yes.
Right now. So there's this, this was, government is his idea, right? And this is why I study the life of David so much is because he understood this. Remember all that, like the people want, and this is human nature. We want like a savior. We want a man king. We want a superhero that will just come and fix all our problems
mm-hmm.
and just make everything awesome,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was Israel's situation. Give us a man king. And they're like, give us Saul, right? And then Saul took kingship and it was good for a while. And then it just started to get really weird. And then David's time finally comes.
Mm-hmm.
But he understood something. And this is Psalm 24. A lot of scholars mm-hmm. actually believe that he wrote this song, Psalm 24, as he's marching the Ark of the Covenant into the gates of Jerusalem on day one of his administration. This is how he set up his whole kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He said, who is this King of Glory?
Yeah.
And it's not me. Because y'all wanted a man king. Y'all wanted a hero. It's not me. Open up, you ancient gates. He's speaking to the gates of God's city. And this is why we speak to the gates of our cities. Open up that the King of Glory would come in. Who is he? It's not Saul. It's not me. But it's the King of Glory. It's the Lord. The Lord. Strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And so I feel that heart when I go to the Capitol. Is I'm going to the high place. Yeah. And I'm acknowledging our earthly government. And we need godly government. But we're saying there is a higher throne.
Yeah.
And we're speaking to the gates from that Capitol. And we're saying open up. That not for a president, not for a celebrity, not for a name, but for the King.
Yeah.
That he That's would take good. His seat yes. right here
yeah.
at the center, the epicenter of our government in our California and That's in America. Good. And I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I feel the Davidic heart.
Yes.
When I go to those governmental buildings, you know, and I feel it in the spirit, like there's something shifting here.
Yes.
I think that's the Lord's prayer too. Let your kingdom come.
Yeah.
Let your will be done.
I love that. We've seen so many young people, Gen Z in particular, responding to these rallies. What are you seeing in the hearts of the youth today that gives you hope for the future of California?
Oh man, I just think young people are so tired of counterfeit.
Mm.
And
so true.
That's why the presence of God is just. It's becoming our number one desire is because when you taste the real thing, like you can't go to all these counterfeits and you can't just go to religion and do's and don'ts. And like the presence of God is the best thing. Like I was just getting wrecked driving down here today and earlier at my house, like just he's here, you know, like the veil has been torn.
Mm.
And I think a generation is starting to understand that. Like we have access directly into his presence, that we don't have to do weird religious rituals and dance around the mountain
anymore.
Like sacrifice, you know, animals anymore. Like we've been given direct access into his glory, the Holy of Holies. And I think a generation is starting to wake up to that.
Yes.
Like, this is what I've been longing for. And I've been searching and searching and searching in all these other ways and all these other areas. And it's just, it never satisfies.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the awakening that we're seeing is young people experiencing the real power and presence of God. And this is what we were made for.
So good. For our K-Bright listeners who want to be a part of the event on May 23rd, what can they expect when they show up at the Capitol, and how can they be preparing their hearts to join this movement with you?
Yes, you are invited. We've set up 5 hours on our permit from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock to do everything from prayer, worship. We're going to have a time of prophetic declarations. Like, what is the Lord saying? We know what the media is saying over California, but this is our call as believers. Like, what is the word of the Lord?
Yeah.
And then we partner with that over CNN or whatever Fox is saying. Like, what is God saying? What is heaven's narrative for California? So we're actually going to have a time. I have some amazing friends and prophetic voices that are going to be joining us and just releasing the word of the Lord over our whole land. And then we're going to have a time of gospel presentation. Obviously, we do this everywhere we go.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, in a public setting like that, you don't never know who's going to be wandering
Absolutely.
The streets. We want to give that call for salvation, rededication. And we're going to have a time of communion together. We're all
really?
Going to take communion.
Oh, I love that.
It's going to be my favorite. It's my favorite part of just, you know, roaring the victory of the cross over California from that high place. And the broken body, the spilled blood of Jesus, it's healing to our land. It's personal, but it's also corporate, right? It's healing for our own lives, but for the nations.
Yeah.
And then we're going to party. We're going to worship and dance and release the joy and proclaim a year of Jubilee coming to California.
I love when you say party. yesterday was my Bible study day, and my pastor makes us practice prophetic exercises, he calls them. But this one was a little different, and he wanted to make us comfortable in the uncomfortable. And I said, oh, I got this. That's been my season all year long. Like, God's preparing me to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations, doing uncomfortable things. I don't like to dance. I can sing all day long. Ask me to dance, and I'm like, oh, please,
come on,
no,
come on.
Right? So he's like, okay, everybody get up and, you know, start just... like loosen up your limbs. And I'm like, Oh, I feel it's coming. He's going to ask us to dance. I could feel it. And I use the baby stroller that my friend has as a way out. So I was like, I'm going to take care of your baby. You go dance. And I grab the baby stroller and I'm walking the baby in the church. And of course, one of the other pastors come and grab my hand and say, nice try, Teresa, nice try. And I was like, dang it. I was like, oh, I was so close. I should have went outside. And so anyways, long story short, I had to dance.
That's
but
so
then
good.
Being uncomfortable feels great now, because even though you're uncomfortable, when you shift the mindset of this is not for you, this is for him.
That's it.
It's our
heart worship
posture. Yes. And so when I'm uncomfortable, I'm like, why are you uncomfortable? Because you care what other people think, or because you are insecure and you don't like the way you dance?
Oh, so good.
Oh, there's all these feelings that I feel and they're real. And it's like, and so God is in my ear saying, so what?
So what?
And then? And what you gonna do about it?
Yep.
And I'm like, sorry. Like, okay, fine. That's fair. I will be obedient because that's your love language.
Yes.
My obedience is the way I can show you how much I love you.
Yes.
And so I will put all that pride and insecurity on the side, and I will do what you have asked me to do.
Yeah.
And I will praise you and I will worship you in this ugly dance that I have for you. And so we did.
Yeah.
We did it for like 30 minutes probably. And everybody,
let's go.
Yeah, there, we did end up doing a Congo line.
Yes,
that's the best. Yeah, it was so cool. And
can I say something on that really
quick? Yes.
So this is actually super key, and we're gonna be doing this in Sacramento as well, because I felt this so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that story with King David when he's dancing?
Yes.
Like a lot
I
of people.
Dance like David.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people think probably this. Oh, it's just silly David, just being a goofball,
yeah,
you know. But there was something prophetic and powerful breaking open in this moment, because it said he's there with 30,000 of his men and all the singers and musicians around the presence of God,
mm-hmm.
and he's dancing in his linen ephod, his underwear, and his wife's in the palace judging him because haters are going to hate.
Yeah.
And he says something, he says, I'll be even more undignified than this, right? But the next thing that he says right here, it says, and I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight.
Yeah.
And there's something about this, like you're touching on, like it's not about you.
It's not.
It's like you get delivered of yourself and you get your eyes on him. And this is like where real worship starts to break
forth.
The humility. I'll be humble in my own sight. And David's realizing like it's not my strength. He's stepping into kingship in this moment.
Yes.
It's not going to be me. The key to a successful reign, a successful life, is going to be me remaining humble in my own sight. And Jesus gets what he wants.
That's right.
And that's where the breakthrough
is. And that's
is.
Why humility is so attractive to, you know, to so many of us. And I think even at one of your events, it was Huntington Beach. I was on the grass lawn area and I was watching. I was like, so cool. Look at him go. He's so for the Lord and sold out. And I'm watching everybody just be so engaged in what you're doing. And I'm very conservative, if you will say. And so I normally don't like to put my hands up. But
conservative in the sense of when it comes to like dancing.
Yeah. And just other stuff.
And stuff.
Right. So, but I saw my hands go up and I was like, oh, look at me in public space putting my hands up.
Hey,
that's
on,
so
Teresa.
Crazy. It's not in church in the four walls. It's out in public where I live. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, and I didn't care because I was submersed and in the presence of God, and you were singing your prophetic songs, you know, like you were speaking and praising and worshiping. And so that's the moment. And I feel like that's what you're bringing to the Capitol, is we're not here to be judgmental and find and search and seek all the talented singers and dancers.
Right.
You don't care how horrible they sound or how bad they dance. You care that they are sold out for Jesus and that they give their life to Jesus. I think that's what's so cool. With only a few minutes left, any final words to our listeners?
it's time to dance.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Yes.
Honestly, I think this is something we're hitting on here. Yeah. The bridge of my song goes like, we're going to sing again. We're going to dance again. Hallelujah. Wow. Get undignified. So the one I was singing earlier.
That's
so
crazy.
I really feel that, like, and this is not like a dance because of like everything's great.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like sometimes you need to dance before the breakthrough.
Yes. Yesterday, there's breakthrough because they're like suppressing something. And all of a sudden, when you do something that you're normally not doing, it releases something.
Yes.
And then when you're adding the presence of God and you're trying to hear from the Holy Spirit, that's when chains break.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, like right now I got chills again.
Yes.
Keep getting chills while talking to you. But yeah, so I get it. That is exactly what I'm expecting. What a powerful reminder that we don't just watch history happen. We have the privilege and the honor of appealing to a higher throne to shape it. If you've been stirred up by what Joel shared today, I want to encourage you to make plans to be at the Capitol steps in Sacramento on Saturday, May 23rd at 2 p.m. Whether you are coming for the worship, the baptisms, or to stand in prayer for our state's future, your presence matters in this new day. For more information on the event and how you can get involved with the movement, go to CaliforniaWillBeSaved.com and follow them on IG. That's C-A will be saved, not California spelled out. Thank you for spending this time with us in the studio. I'm Teresa. Stand firm and stay strong in the Word right here on K-Bright Radio. Thank you so much, Joel.
Always a pleasure.
Until next time, God bless you.
This has been In the Studio, a public affairs presentation of the Crawford Media Group. Please email us your comments, suggestions, and ideas to publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com. Again, that's publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com.